This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Pleasure to have you with us. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast on this Tuesday. We're looking ahead to a couple of match play events this week with the Seve Trophy and the President's Cup, both starting on Thursday. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grennan with you to do just that. But first, as ever, we look back to what happened last week. And David Howell back in the winner's enclosure, Mike. First victory since 2006 on the European Tour. And he was impressive, putted brilliantly throughout the tournament, and beat talented American Peter Uihlein in the playoff in the end, Mike.
He did. Yeah, great win for Howell, wasn't it? I was slightly cheering him on in a sad way because I was close to picking Uihlein last week and I kind of didn't want him to win, which is, I don't know if that's very grown up, but that's the truth of the matter. he's a cracking player, by the way.
You can't start coming on this podcast and acting grown up.
Oh, no,
I won't allow it.
Sorry, I forgot the house rules. Howell, lovely guy, comes across really well, and his first win for a long time. Let's hope he builds on that. You know, when he's on form, he's a very decent player, and see if he can get back to where he was a few years ago. That's a very, very lucrative win for him, that, so it takes a lot of pressure off, I would guess.
Yeah, he's a golfer, turned struggling golfer, turned commentator, turned proper golfer again.
He's
gone full circle, hasn't he?
He's bought himself a bit of time with that win, hasn't he? So well done to him.
I
wonder if Howard Clark can win on the European Tour next year.
Maybe so, yeah.
I don't think that'll happen.
It was a little bit of a disappointing week as far as our personal fortunes were concerned.
I don't think so, David. You got Fleetwood placed.
Yeah.
Two or three picks? Two picks? What do we have?
We had five picks in between us, didn't we?
Yeah, so we got one placed, and Fleetwood was, 40 to him, was he?
Yeah.
He was full place, wasn't he? So you're frustrated because you thought he could have won.
Yeah, he just missed makeable putts on 13, 15, 16 and 18, eventually lost out by two. And Henny Otto faltered on 17, didn't he? 150 to 1.
Yeah.
Double bogey 17.
Double bogey 17 to fall out of the places, didn't he? Which is, in fact, he didn't even finish in the top 10 because of that double bogey. I think he finished tied 12th.
Really?
So if you'd backed him at the top 10, you'd be even more frustrated than I was. But he looked a banker for a place for most of the weekend, didn't he, really? And for him to fall out at that at that price with just two holes to go. Two pars would have got him a place, the final two holes. Ouch.
What do you, just before we move on to these two match play events this week, what do you make of the amateurs still being around on the Sunday?
I'd rather they weren't there at all, if I'm being honest. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Totally. So my standpoint is clear on this.
Yeah. No, I think we talk about this every year.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to be there,
wouldn't be much of a pro-am without them.
It wouldn't.
That wouldn't bother me.
No. I'd have them there Thursday. If you're going to have them there Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
and
have it completed on Saturday. Yeah. These guys are playing for lots of world ranking points, lots of Ryder Cup points, lots of money as well. It's their profession. I think it detracts from it slightly. Must be off-putting for some of them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, it's at least Bill Murray wasn't playing.
That's true. Seve Trophy, then. This is the first match play event that we're going to have a look at this week. Team Continental Europe are 8-15 to win the event. Team GB and I are 11-8. Remember, Team GB and I have won the last six of these Seve Trophies.
Amazing, that, isn't it?
Yeah, Continental Europe won the first ever Seve Trophy. GB and I have won the last six. I think the build-up to the event has arguably been more interesting than they expect the event to be, because Paul Laurie's been quite outspoken in his criticism.
Of players not making themselves available.
Yeah, they've been dubbed the stay-away six.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Luke Donald, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter and Graham McDowell all qualified for the team, but all have chosen not to take up their invitation. On the European side of things, Henrik Stenson, Sergio Garcia, Jonas Blixt and Martin Kaymer all had opportunity to play in the event, but again, they've chosen to sit this one out. What do you make to that decision?
It's tricky, Dave, isn't it? They've all played a lot of events recently, the FedEx Cup and what have you. But personally, I'd have a preference for people wanting to represent teams in international sport, whether it's football or golf. I don't like it when footballers retire from international football before they should do. You know, I think it's giving a bit back to the sport, isn't it, that's making a name. So I'm kind of with Paul Laurie, but I do understand that a lot of these guys have played a lot of golf, and they'll all be there for the Ryder Cup. That's the thing.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? The Ryder Cup is infinitely more important than this competition. Yeah. And it's difficult for a lot of the guys to balance it out, isn't it? Because you've got them trying to trying to play on two different tours.
Yes. That's become a big problem for them. They're trying to stay a little bit loyal to Europe, but can't play everywhere, can they? You know, that's a very big factor, I think, Dave, isn't it? So it gives other people a chance as well, you could argue. But the event would be better for having a Rory McIlroy and Lee Westwood and Justin Rose, wouldn't it?
Definitely.
Garcia, it'd be much more exciting, wouldn't it, you would imagine? It is disappointing, I suppose.
It is played over 4 days, this competition. We have 5 four-ball matches on both Thursday and Friday, 4 foursome matches on Saturday morning, then a further 4 foursome matches on Saturday afternoon, and 10 singles matches on Sunday. A total of 28 points available, 14.5 required for victory. And this is actually the first Seve Trophy without greensome matches, which is a slight change to the format of the competition. And it's played in Paris, France for the third consecutive...
Paris, France?
Paris, France.
All right, as opposed to Paris, Texas.
There must be one somewhere else.
There is one.
I've just got it written down in front of me. I thought it was a Ron Burgundy moment. Just read whatever's on the teleprompter. This is played here...
Not in London, England.
No, not in London, England. For the third consecutive occasion, Mike.
Well, thank God Paris is in France, that's all I'll say.
Do you think GB and I are a bit big?
I think both teams are priced about right. I know you're saying that on the basis of 6 consecutive wins, aren't you?
I am, and you look through the teams.
On that basis, yes, they are.
Yes.
Because they're odds against.
Of course, but obviously it's a different team.
It is a different team.
And if you look through the teams, I'll go through the teams quickly.
Oh, do you have to?
Sam Torrance, non-playing captain. Yeah. Jamie Donaldson, David Lynn, Stephen Gallagher, Chris Wood, Paul Laurie, Mark Warren, Scott Jameson, Paul Casey, Tommy Fleetwood and Simon Kahn for GB&I. Mm. Ola Tharbel is the captain for Continental Europe. Matteo Manassero, Peter Hansen, Miguel Angel Jimenez, Thomas Bjorn, Francesco Molinari, Jus Lauten, Mikko Ilinen, Torbjörn Olesen, Gregory Bordy, Nicholas Kolsarts and late replacement for Peter Hansen, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. Yeah. That's Team Europe and Team GB&I. Team Europe have the stronger team.
Yeah, if I was having a bet in this, I would pick Euros in this. I think I think they've got a better captain. I really like Alarzabal as a captain against Torrance. I think that could be important. I think he'll be close to the players. He's still playing, isn't he? Whereas Torrance is somewhat removed from the tour these days. Nothing against Torrance particularly, but Alarzabal has all of that charisma of winning the Ryder Cup and Seve, all of that built in emotion, so I think he'll be really up for it. I'm sure Torrance will be as well, to be fair, but I just give that a slight edge, and I do think they have the better players this time round. That said, you know, GB and I have shown that they're winners in this tournament, so I'm not actually going to have a points bet on this day, but if I was picking a team for the outright, it would be Continental Europe. It's just the 8-15 was just a little short for me. Is that what they are still? Yeah, 8-15.
Yes, 8-15 and 11-8.
So I had a look at a couple of point scores. How do you call the outright?
I'd go with Team GB&I.
Would you?
At the prices, yeah. I think they're a big price at 11-8. I don't see enough between the two teams to suggest that Team Continental Europe going for their first win since the event started should be as short as 8-15 personally, but I'm with you. I'm not having a points bet on the Seve Trophy outright.
No, I'm more interested in the points than the point scorers than the outright. I just think there are some good players in very good form on the Continental Europe side, so I just give them the slight edge. And the Alarzabal thing I think is important.
Let me spin through the points then. Have you gone for a bet in each GB&I and Continental
Europe? My biggest interest would be in the top Euro. Shall I give that?
Yeah, I'll go through the prices.
You go through the prices?
Yeah.
You like reading out lists, don't you?
Nicholas Coulthard is 11-2. That's my job over here.
All right.
6-1, Joost Luiten. Francesco Molinari, 13-2. Thomas Bjorn, 13-2. Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, Mateo Manacera, and Miguel Angel Jimenez, all 7-1. Torbjörn Olsen, 8s. Gregory Bordy, 10s. And Mikko Ilonen, 10-1 as well.
Yeah. Well, I've gone for a guy in the top Euro, but I'd probably go for him in the top combined point score.
Would you?
Which I don't think you have you got those to hand?
Yeah, I have got those.
Don't read all 24 of
those. I won't go through all 24.
I'll tell you who I'm going for, Dave. It's the Frenchman, Gregory Bordy. He's quoted on the European Tour site, actually, is saying that the course, he knows it so well, it's a lovely course. He loves the area and be very comfortable in the event. So he's played here a lot of times. He's only 3 or 4 events away from winning. Doesn't done a lot since he won in Wales, but he's a really good player. And I was very surprised to see he was 20-1 in the combined point scoring event. Now, if I'm right in Continental Europe, are going to win.
Yes.
You'd imagine he'd be on the winning side a few times. He's French. He'll have good local support. I know that it's not going to be like some of the Bethpage Black or somewhere, but he's going to have some support
Brookline.
Behind him. Brookline or something, you know. He's going to have some Frenchman cheering him on, for God's sake, isn't he?
Yes, you'd think so.
So,
France.
In Paris, France. I just thought he... At 20-1 to be the combined, or 10-1, it's a pick'em job, that 10-1 to be top, just counting the continental European players. I'd probably go at the 20s myself and have a little saver on the 10s. I think that's very decent price. I don't see why he's virtually outsider of the field. It's very surprising.
Yeah, I'm going with a guy in the... I've not had a bet on the Continental Europe, or I'm not going to have a bet on the Continental Europe top point scorer. I'm going with Chris Wood in the Team GB and I market.
Good record last time.
Yeah, really good record. Back in 2009, didn't play in 2011. He got 4.5 points in that Sevi Trophy, then missed out in 2011. And I think he'll come into this pretty fresh as well, because he's not played a lot of golf recently. He played poorly at Wales despite opening up with a 66, and he said how he was struggling with his swing on that occasion. But subsequently, he's played really well at the Alfred Dunhill Links last week, finishing tied 7th, shooting 19 under. And I expect he'll finish the season strongly. I try and work out possible partnerships when looking at these bets. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he got to partner Tommy Fleetwood in this event. I see that as a matchup that...
Well, why haven't you picked Fleetwood then?
Because Fleetwood is half a point bigger, but hasn't got experience of the golf course.
He's more than half a point bigger, isn't he, in the... What's the difference in the combined?
2 points in the combined, half a point bigger in the...
You see, Fleetwood...
Top GB&I.
I'm not going to put up a bet in the GB&I, but Fleetwood would probably be the one I would pick. He's in fantastic form.
Yeah.
And you're right, he will get a good partner because he's playing so well, and Wood could well be the man. So I just thought 14-1 Fleetwood in the combined was quite interesting.
Wood's 12-1 in the combined.
Yeah, 2 points bigger.
He is 2 points bigger. I'm going to go half a point shorter in the Team GB&I on Chris Wood, given that he's got experience of the Sevi Trophy and he's got experience around the golf course as well.
Okay.
That edges it for me.
What, in this event?
In this event.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not going to argue with you on that. I've made my point.
Are you not having a punt on the top GB&I then? You would have picked Fleetwood.
I'll have half a point on Fleetwood then.
Okay. At the 14.
Just because you've riled me.
At the 14-1.
At the 14-1.
Okay.
Bordy, though, I think is very decent.
Yeah, no, I like the case for Bordy. I do like the case.
Each way 20 is there, Dave. If the Continental Europeans play as well as I think they might, then he'd be right up there, and I like that price.
The President's Cup is the more interesting of the two match play events this week, though, isn't it? I think
it is. Yes, the President's Cup has the better players in it.
It does. There's a little bit more history there, isn't there, with the President's
Cup?
There is.
But the same argument applies, Dave. Really, in that this event has been won far too often by the US, a bit like the Sevi Trophy has been won too often by GB and Ireland.
Yeah,
this one, the Americans just kind of never seem to lose it, do they?
They do. They've dominated. 9 Presidents' Cup matches have been played in total, USA winning 7 of them. The Internationals getting their only win back in 1998. Yeah, and the tie. They had a tie in Fancourt, didn't they, back in 2003.
Yep.
The US have won every event played on home soil. And Fred Couples had a bigger dilemma with his picks than Nick Price did, really. Fred Couples had a lot of players to choose from. He went with Jordan Spieth and Webb Simpson to complete his team. And Nick Price picked Brendan DeYoung and Mark Leishman. One of the key statistics here, if you're looking at this tournament and you're relating it to world rankings, you can decide for yourself whether they're valid or not. But 8 Americans rank higher than the number 2 player on the international team. That shows you that there is a huge gulf in class between the two teams.
No, there isn't. That isn't true, is it? There's not a huge gulf in class. They may rank higher, but all of the players on the international team are good players, Dave.
They're all good players.
A huge gulf is just overstating it, surely. Is for example, Zach Johnson any better than Louis Oosthuizen?
At this moment in time, yes.
To be fair, at this moment in time,
yes.
Bad example.
And played poorly at the Alfred Dunhill Links. You could have picked a number of players
I've
there.
I picked the wrong one, didn't I? Messed up my argument. No question time for me.
No, but historically, no, of course not. Because Louis Oosthuizen is a.
How many major winners are there on both teams?
There are.
I had a very quick look, Dave, and I think.
6 major champions on the US team, aren't there? And there are
I only counted 5 on the US. I have to be honest, but
Woods, Mickelson, Bradley,
Duffner,
Johnson,
Simpson.
Yes, yeah, Simpson.
6. You're right.
Six,
you are right.
Yeah. I did read.
And
read
there are 5 on five on the international team, aren't there? Scott, Schwartzel, Elts, Oosthuizen, and Cabrera.
Yes, that's correct.
No, that's not a lot in it, Dave, is there?
You know,
it's not as the golfing class is not as massive as you may be stating. I'm going to tip the international team. That's why I'm playing devil's advocate.
And I can see that the prices, the internationals have drifted. They've drifted and drifted and drifted. 11-4 the internationals. The US team 2-7. The tie 14-1. I'm not having a bet in the outright, but. Even though I've stated that there's a gulfing class between the two.
A huge
gulfing class between the two, which maybe was overstating it, overplaying it, and exaggerating slightly. I appreciate that the internationals are probably slight value.
I think they are value, Diff. I think they are value. Look, if someone gave me £1 million and said have an even money bet to pick the winner, I'm on USA 365 days a year. They're the more likely winners. The betting tells you that, though, doesn't it? But when you're looking at value, take away the history of the event, and some people say, well, maybe you can't do that. But they are different teams, yeah? It's 12 different players against 12, you know. I know some of them have played before, but these are a different 12. So history is questionable. You would look at these teams and say, the Americans have got the better team, the internationals are not hopeless.
Yes.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's fair.
There's some really good players on the international team. They're 11-4, Dave, to win. What is it, you know, a little bit shorter than a matchup, maybe. You know, I'm not saying they should be 5-6 to pair, but I think the Americans are underpriced. I really do.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think you'd be a madman to back the US at 2-7.
Yeah,
despite the history of the event, when you look at the teams side by side, you'd say that they're no way a 2-7 shot.
No,
The only slight reservation I've got here with the international side is if this was a setup like the Ryder Cup, you can hide a few of your weaker players.
Possibly, yeah.
In this President's Cup, the format is such that all 12 players must play foursomes and four-ball matches on Thursday and Friday, and only 2 players will sit on Saturday with 5 matches in each session. So there isn't the... Captaincy isn't as important in this event as it is in the Ryder Cup.
It's less picks, and it plays to the US, who have a stronger squad in theory.
That's it.
That is fair. Another big factor in America's favour, I have to say, Dave, is that Muirfield is a course that they play a lot. You know, they've much more experience as a team in Muirfield than, you know, a lot of the internationals. Admittedly, Ernie Els has played there 20 times. But a lot of the guys, you know, there's a real wealth of experience at the course. For the Americans, at the internationals, I mean, you know, there's a few. Matsuyama hasn't played there. I think Sterny and Ustase have only played there once. A couple of others have only played there twice. So that is a factor. You know, there are a number of things in the Americans' favour, don't get me wrong. They do deserve to be market leaders, unquestionably. But 11-4 is a big price. You know, you take away that factor of the history of the event. Try and blink yourself against that and look at the players. You know, there's some good players in the international team. Scott's been in great form this year. Day is threatening to win a major. Svartzel and Els and Ustasen, all cracking players.
Yeah.
Matsuyama looks like being the only rookie to rival Spieth. They look the two best rookies in the world. They're comparable, aren't they? And I really like the South Africans like Grace and Sterny. I think they're really good players.
They're really good putters, aren't they?
Yeah. I like the mix in the international side of Australian and South African players. They're players who want to win. There's a good mix of the partnerships should work out quite well for the internationals. I could see some of them working quite well. I think the likelihood is that Nick Price will pick a lot of pairings from, you know, two Australians, two South Africans.
Yes.
So I don't think there's quite as many players from the Far East as there sometimes is, which maybe helps. Everyone's speaking English. There's just Matsuyama. It might be easier for team morale. Some of those players are fantastic. But, you know, just in a team spot, maybe it doesn't help the bonding as much, you know. So I really think that the 11-4 is a price that has to be taken.
11-4, the internationals.
Mm.
What's the point?
4 points.
4 points, the internationals, 11-4.
I did
wow.
go 8 points on Europe this time last
yes.
year. To yeah. win the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And some could argue that was slightly fortunate to land the win. But you've just got to remember that, you know, over 18 holes, these players are all very closely matched. Not a lot in it.
I want the internationals to win. And I think that's a big thing with the President's Cup. That's why it...
It needs them to win, in a way.
It does. It does need them to win. But I think as a... I don't know how to say this without sounding like a little boy, but as a Brit, and I think a lot of people will be able to relate to this, you like to see the Americans get beat, don't you? Get
well,
beaten.
They're the favourites out there, so everyone wants to
cheer on the underdog. It's we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I think it'd be good for world golf if the internationals at least make a good fist of it. My one worry, Dave, about the internationals, because I've seen it before, is if they start badly, they seem to crumble. They don't have the team spirit that Europe have. I have to say that is my one reservation. I really need them, and I am going to back them a decent bet, 11-4. I really need them to start well. If they're a few behind on day one, it's all over.
Yeah.
Whereas with Europe, there's always a chance, as we've seen, that they'll come back. There's just a bit more. I don't know what the word is. Team spirit, I suppose.
Just one of my concerns about... I've highlighted a couple of concerns, but one other concern about the international team is I think a lot of the international players are tired. Ernie Els was talking about being fatigued last week at the Alfred Dunhill Links.
Charles Schwartz should plan his schedule a bit better, and he says he's
going to change his schedule for next year. Not quite reduces,
come on, Ernie.
Reduces events like Stricker has, but there's going to be... Something in between, basically. Well, a full schedule and Stricker's.
Yeah, that would be a worry, because yeah. he's a key player. This
he is a very much so a key
you know,
player.
He's a past winner at Muirfield and has 6 top tens in 20 events there, so he plays the course really well. You need him to be a bit of a leader this week. That worries me slightly, Dave. I hadn't seen those quotes.
Yeah.
They're not enough to put me off, don't get me wrong, but yeah, you need all your big guns. The internationals need their big guns firing.
They definitely do.
They really do.
Let me go through some of these top player markets then. Top United States player, Tiger Woods 5-1, Phil Mickelson 7-1, Steve Stricker 7-1, Matt Kuchar 8s, Keegan Bradley 9s, 10-1, Snedeker, Mahan, Duffner and Spieth, 12-1, Simpson and Zach Johnson, and 14-1, Bill Haas. I've got a pretty strong pick here, actually, Mike. I'm going to go 2 points on Matt Kuchar to be top US point scorer at 8-1. I think it's probably a much better punting proposition betting top player markets in this event than it is in the Ryder Cup, because you know you're going to get a good run. These players...
Yeah, they're all going to play.
Yeah, they're all going to play a few games. Yeah. And I don't think Kuchar will be the man to sit on that Saturday either, as long as he's played well on the Thursday or the Friday. He played well with Stuart Sink in the 2010 Ryder Cup and with Dustin Johnson in the 2012 Ryder Cup, despite having limited opportunity in both those events. I think he's certainly got the temperament for match play golf. He's a match play winner, of course. And I think he makes a solid partner for anyone, especially in the foursomes. I'd like to see him partner with Steve Stricker. I think that would be a good match. There's talk of Stricker playing with Jordan Spieth this week. He played with Stricker in the 2011 President's Cup a couple of times. He won the Memorial here at Muirfield Village this season. So he obviously likes the golf course. And I think he can put his disappointment of the Tour Championship behind him this week, Matt Kuchar. I think he's the best bet in that top US market at 8-1.
Couldn't agree with you more. Five top tens in eight starts at Muirfield Village. Won there this year, as you've said. Is in good form throughout the season. Remains in decent form. You know, he's playing really well. I'd go along with you there, Dave. I'd probably back him in the top US market myself at eight. The combined points, I think, he's 14s, which is slightly tempting. But if you're on internationals to win that, you're probably... You know, people could take a different view on that. You could say, right, if I've got the international bet wrong, at least I've got a chance.
And some people might be looking at this and thinking, a lot of people obviously do, because the US have been so well backed, it's a foregone conclusion.
Yes.
And then you take him in the top overall points scoring. But I can understand it from your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's two ways of playing it. You could either say, right, I really think he's a sabre almost if the US run away with it, which they could. You know, if they start well, they could win by 10, you know.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important that the internationals are right in it from day one. But yeah, Kuchar's got a massive chance. He might well play with Tiger, you know, Dave. That's the word on the street.
Is it really?
I've
not seen that.
He might well get some time with Tiger, they're reckoning. They might split the Stricker-Tiger thing up, and Kuch is possibly the man to go with Tiger.
Ah, that'd be interesting. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he was my number one choice. Number two choice, Keegan Bradley, just because he's so excellent in the Ryder Cup and is in very, very good form at the back end of the season, but hasn't got a great record at Muirfield.
Right,
only made one cut out of three events there, would you believe? His top finish is 50th, which puts me off slightly. I'll probably have a little saver on Bradley. Yeah, he'll probably play with Mickelson, which will be a very strong pairing. Mickelson loves Muirfield Village, so interesting.
Who do you think Jordan Spieth will partner with?
I think Stricker could be the man. Yeah, I do.
No, I agree. As for the top internationals, Adam Scott heads the market at 7-2. Jason Day is 5-1. Charles Schwartzel is 13-2. Ernie Els 9-1. Louis Oosthuizen is in the betting at 9-1. Graeme Delatt and Hideki Matsuyama both 10s. Angel Cabrera 12-1. Brandon Grace is 12-1. Richard Sterney 12-1. Brendan De Jong 16s. And Mark Leishman 20-1.
Yeah,
I'll let you lead off here.
I've got a strong bet here.
I've got a strong bet as well.
Oh yeah,
I think we're going to go for different men though. I must admit.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going for Mark Leishman.
Are you really?
Yeah, I think that Mark Leishman's massively overpriced in this market. The likelihood is that he'll play with Jason Day or Adam Scott a lot. I think he'll play with an Australian. So all he needs to do is keep winning with those guys,
yeah,
and then win his singles, and he's right up there. He's got two top 20s in his last four events, Dave. 12th in the USPGA and 16th in the Deutsche Bank. He's 4th in the Masters and 8th in the TPC this year. He's a cracking player. My one worry is, I have to be truthful, is that he's not got a very good record here in the Memorial. I think his best finish is a bit like Bradley's. He's about 50th or something like that. Let me just double check that here. Leishman, where have you gone? I think his top finish is nothing to write home about.
No,
but I just think he's got great form. Played really well in big events this year. He's going to play with top players. He's 50-1 to be the top point scorer.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing price. 20-1 to be the top international. So all right. I take away that moderate Memorial form. That's really big price in this event.
He could. I think if I was Nick Price here, I'd split Scott and Day. A lot of people think
they will split them.
Yeah, he's got to split them, hasn't he?
Well, that's why I'm picking Leishman. I'm hoping. Yeah. I might be wrong, but my hope is that he'll play with one of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a nice little Aussie, you know. I mean, Day, this is his local course, isn't it?
Yes. So,
and Scott's got a couple of top tens here in the past, plays the course decently. Yeah, I would be surprised if Day and Scott played together a lot. They might have one pairing together. But you've got to, if you're Nick Price, you've got to split up your best players a bit, haven't you? Or it's all your eggs in one basket. So who's your fancy, David?
Graham Delatt is my fancy.
Yeah, I get that.
I fancy him pretty strongly.
I think
10-1 is a decent price for the internationals. He's had one appearance at Memorial, tied 21st this year at Memorial. In a team chocked full of talented rookies on both sides, he and Hideki Matsuyama are two of the most talented on the international side, without a doubt. I think he'll really want to perform in this competition. A Canadian putting one over on the Americans.
Oh yeah, he'd love that.
I think he'd absolutely love it. He's a pure ball striker, which is a big positive around this golf course. I think he'll be a superb foursome partner, and he can get hot and make a lot of birdies. Two top fives in the FedEx Cup playoff events, and some of his quotes coming into this championship or this event shows how much he wants to play here and wants to be a part of it. He said, "It's an absolute dream come true for me, probably the proudest moment of my golf career to play in the President's Cup. It's pretty close to the pinnacle of professional golf. You're playing with and against marquee names, and just to be included with those guys, major champions, Hall of Famers, future Hall of Famers, it's unbelievable to be in that company." He's going to be bang up for this, Graham Delatt.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a member on the PGA Tour, which might be a big factor coming into this week. Played the golf course. I see him possibly partnering up with Angel Cabrera.
Yeah, there's been rumours of that. I think they've played a bit together in practice, haven't they? I think they have. That'd be a good pairing, you know.
Cabrera turns it on in the big yeah, events, doesn't
he? Absolutely. He's got the bottle, hasn't he, Cabrera, for stuff like this. You've got to say that this is Jack Nicklaus course that always kind of suits greens and regulation players. Second shot course, isn't it? And
yeah.
Delette is great. He's right at the top of the GIR stats on tour. So I get that, Dave. And if he's paired with Cabrera, very interesting partnership, very good mix.
Yeah, so he's my strong fancy for the top international point score. I'm playing all these markets. All my bets are in the, not in the top overall scorer markets. They're in
You're
the
going for the teams,
the
you?
Team scorer markets, yeah.
Why is that? What's your theory there?
Because I've not had a definitive selection in the outrights, really.
Right.
So I'm not 100%, well, obviously no one's 100% convinced which team's going to win, but I haven't got
a strong fancy,
really. I understand your point of view and your perspective with the internationals, because I think that's the prize play in both the events. 11-4 is a big price on the internationals.
It's a big price, David. It's a big price. You know, I've given my clear indication that I'm really hoping that they start well. But if they do, then it gets very interesting. And there's some good players on that team that could make the Americans think twice.
Let's spin through the... just before we spin through the selections, who would you partner Hideki Matsuyama with? Because he's the enigma this week, isn't he? Because he doesn't speak the language. He's going to have to gel with someone because we know how talented he is. Mm. But the internationals, in all likelihood, are going to need every single point they can get their hands on.
Does he speak a bit of English?
Does he speak a little bit?
I think he does. I think he's actually... I may be wrong here, but I've just a feeling I've seen him speaking English.
Every time I've seen an interview with him, I think he's been with a translator.
You may be right, Dave. You may well be right, that. You probably are, in fact. Who would you play him with? That's a very good question.
It's one of the imponderables, I think, this week for Nick Price. Whereas the US team have a lot of combinations that can work.
Do you know what
work.
You might do, Dave? You might play him with Adam Scott. You might play him with Adam Scott because there's three Australians, I think, isn't there? So
yes.
Leishman will probably play with one of those guys, I'm guessing, and then you'd maybe stick the other one with Matsuyama. That's just off the top of my head. I have no good feeling for that. But you could just see someone like Adam Scott taking him under his wing, maybe. I haven't seen who he's played with in practice, have you?
No, I've not. There's five South Africans
any
as well,
else,
so
maybe?
They'll have to split.
Could he play with any else?
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly, couldn't he?
I think he's going to have to play with someone experienced, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's someone who knows the course so well. Maybe Ernie Els. Mm. Well, one of those guys, I would guess. He's a talented player, though, Dave.
Yeah.
He really is. You know, he's some player.
Yeah, we've got three top-quality young players to look at. Delatt.
Yeah.
Matsuyama and Spieth this week.
I'd rather be agent for the latter two than the first. I know you've picked him this week. He's good, but they're a little bit above him, I think.
Yeah, no,
I might be wrong. He's at a great end to the season, do that. Mm. I could see him playing well this week. It was a good pick, that one.
Let's spin through the picks then, Mike.
Yeah, well, no outright pick in the Seve Trophy, Dave, but Euros is where I would have probably gone. My one bet in this event is... And I'll let people decide each. You know, you can either back him top Euro or top point scorer. I have to say, I'm probably going to go a point win, half a point place in both the top Euro and the top combined. Gregory Bode, 20s top combined, 10s top Euro.
Yeah.
Tommy Fleet would have been my... Oh, I said I'd have a bet on him, didn't
I? Half a point, didn't he?
Half a point on him in the top combined. Yeah. Just to beat your man.
14-1. Yeah, well, I'm going with in the... Seve Trophy. I'm going to have 2 points on Chris Wood to be top GB and I scorer, 13-2.
Yeah, I'm pondering those points actually. I probably might do Bode a little bit more on that on the combined, but let's stick with it now. It's okay. Too complicated otherwise. In the President's Cup, 4 points win on the internationals, and what am I going to have on Leishman? I'm going to have a point each way at 50s for him to be top combined, and a point each way at 20s. I think he's massively overpriced.
Yeah, you're going for it this week.
My more worry is he doesn't play Murphy very well. I'm pretty sure he hasn't even got a top 40 there. I'm pretty sure in 4 or 5 outings. And so that is a worry. But, you know, those facts, Dave, he's 2 top 20s in the last 4 events. He will I'm also hoping he gets paired with someone decent.
Yeah, that's a big factor.
If he ends up with Brendan De Jong, I might not be so pleased.
No. I'm going with, in the top international player, Graeme Delatt. I'm going to go 1 point, Graeme Delatt, 10-1 on Delatt this week. And top US, I think we agree, don't we?
Yeah, I'd have to go Kuchar.
Yeah, I would. I'd have 2 points on Kuchar.
I'll be with you there.
Top player.
US rather than top combined because it just kind of conflicts with my other bet. But yeah, you could have an
eight to one.
You could have a little save on the 14s as well.
Yeah, and that just about wraps us up, Mike.
Yeah, good stuff, Dave.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the President's Cup. A hell of a lot more than the Seve Trophy, which I think is a little bit of a joke event, I must admit.
Oh, that's a bit harsh, isn't it?
A bit harsh, isn't it? But it's just difficult to... because the Ryder Cup's so important to people that love...
If the people in Paris, France could hear you now.
Because the Ryder Cup's so important to golf enthusiasts, it's difficult to cheer against all these European players as someone from the British Isles, isn't it?
It is. They're 1 year they're part of the team and the next they're not. So, I always think the Seve Trophy is almost a training event, isn't it, for the Ryder Cup to get some guys used to international team play.
That's a good
point. It's not as... bitter rivalries or anything like that. It's then there are more pals out there than they're not on different tours. So you're right, it has a different feel. But it'll be competitive enough.
What one quote I saw from the President's Cup, which goes against Fred Couples as a captain, is he said his way of picking the teams this week was going to just ask the players who they wanted to play with. I don't like that.
No, I have to say, you've reminded me there of something that I meant to talk about and I hadn't. The captains are important in these events. Nick Faldo, for all he was a brilliant player, was a very poor captain in the Ryder Cup, in my opinion. I think Price is likely to be a better captain than Couples.
I agree.
Couples is laid back, kind of, I don't know whether he'll be decisive enough. And that is another factor that helps the internationals. I think Price, this matters to him. He'll really want to get a win and get his, get an international win on the board because it's so long since they've had one. And I just think he's likely to be more driven. Couples will be great if they get ahead and they're winning, and it's all rah-rah. But what happens if they go behind?
Yeah, precisely. Hopefully we'll find out.
Glad you mentioned that. It is a factor.
Yeah, it is a factor. At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham, if you want to follow us on Twitter. We're having a week off from Golf Twitter Tipster. You can follow that account at Golf Twit Tipster on Twitter, golftwittertipster.co.uk, if you're looking online. I'm looking forward to this week. Get your bets on for the President's Cup and the Seve Trophy. Check out all the markets at williamhill.com and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.